Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 24 and 35 to 43. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who conquered death and the grave through his own resurrection from the dead, dear fellow redeemed, one of the saddest and yet most certain events in life is death. Sad because it is so final, the irrevocable separation of our loved ones. Certain because if Jesus doesn't come first, all of us here, even those of babies, will die. Death will come upon all of us, just like the past generations. Yes, death is inevitable, and death is sad. And one of the saddest of deaths is that of a young child, one who is cut short in their youth, one who doesn't get to fulfill their desires and dreams of childhood into adulthood. And one such sad death occurred in our sermon text this morning. Yet because of Jesus, this sad event turn into joy and rejoicing, and for us this morning is a lesson of peace and comfort. Our theme this morning is Death Strikes Again. First point, with death comes mourning, crying, weeping. But with Jesus comes hope. What emotional lesson we have laid before us this morning. Jesus has crossed over the Sea of Galilee. He's now near the city of Capernaum, surrounded by people, walking along, and suddenly a man, a synagogue ruler, comes right up to him, throws himself at the feet of Jesus, and begs, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." What a heart-wrenching scene. A father, a prominent, honored man, a synagogue ruler, is begging for his daughter's life. We can see Jairus' love both in his words and his actions. He's prostrate on the ground, and he's saying, "My little daughter," a term of loving endearment. This was her father's little girl. But also, it's a very shocking event. Most synagogue rulers opposed Jesus. They didn't look upon Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They looked upon him as being a troublemaker, a rebel, a fraud, and a fake. But not Jairus. Jesus had healed a nobleman's son and the centurion's servant in that same area sometime earlier. He also spoke often in the synagogue, so possibly Jairus had heard Jesus speaking in the synagogue. Maybe he had heard of Jesus' miracles, and faith had been worked in his heart to believe that Jesus could heal his little girl. Now, why Jairus waited to this last minute, just before her daughter was about to die, to come to Jesus, we don't know. Perhaps Jesus had been out of town for a long time, and now he just returned. Perhaps Jairus had just been brought to faith in Jesus. Or maybe her illness took a turn for the worse suddenly, and she was quickly getting worse, and so Jairus went to seek for Jesus. But we do know that he knew and believed that Jesus could heal her. Again, hear his cry, "Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." But she didn't live. As he was still talking to Jesus, some of his friends came and gave him the tragic, terrible news. Your daughter's dead. Death strikes again. No doubt that little girl was one of thousands of people that died that day. Statistics today tell us that on average, and listen to this number, on average, 151,600 people die every single day. That's 105 people every minute. That's almost two people every second that die in this world. It's a lot of people. But a little consolation for a loving father who has just lost his beloved little girl. Death, the final stages of life that we know so well, has just taken another victim. Why? Because of sin. The Bible clearly says, the wages of sin is death. Death has come upon all men because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. The top three reasons for death today: heart disease, cancers, and stroke. But all those deaths, in fact, every single death in this world, all come about for one reason, and that is sin. Death strikes every single second of every single minute, of every single hour, of every single day of this world, all because of sin. And how do we respond to death? Not the death of others, but the death of our loved ones. The same way they did in our text, with crying, with weeping, with tears, with grief. We read verse 38. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. The word tumult can also mean a loud noise or an uproar. What a scene. Here's a 12-year-old little girl lying dead on her bed, and the house is filled with people crying and wailing, friends and family members, possibly also those professional mourners that especially higher up people hired. In Matthew, we're told there were flute players there too. In Luke, we're told the people are not only crying, but they're beating on their chest, showing their agony, their extreme sadness and grief over this terrible tragedy. And we too mourn. We too cry. We just had a funeral yesterday in Luther Memorial in Fond du Lac. 88-year-old man. And yet the family cried. They were rejoicing he was in heaven. But there is tears of sadness, tears of sorrow. Whether you're 18 or 88 or 12, there's tears. There's sorrow. Because that sadness and tears help us accept the reality of the tragedy. Grieving is a good process that the Lord puts in us to realize that this is something that is part of life. Death is part of life. But all the mourning, all the crying, all the weeping will never change that or remove the loss. Only Jesus can. Jairus' friend said, "Why trouble the teacher any further?" They thought, "The little girl is beyond help. She's dead. There's nothing more that Jesus can do." But Jesus had said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, only believe." In other words, don't let your eyes rule your heart. Don't let your friend's words crush your faith. So he turned to that mourning crowd of people and he said, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And the skeptics laughed him to scorn. They ridiculed him. "Don't you know? She's dead. What are you talking about?" But to Jesus, the ruler of life and death, who has all power in heaven and earth, bringing someone back from the dead is like us waking up our children in the morning. And Jesus showed to Jairus that his faith in him was well-founded. He put out all those people who ridiculed him and said that what he had said was foolish and nonsense. You notice, we're not told that he politely asked them to leave. He put them out of the house. He didn't want them any longer there, interfering a moment longer from that faith of his friend Jairus. And he took Jairus and his wife, he took three of his disciples, went to the little girl's room, picked up her hand, and said to the dead body, "Talitha kumi," which is Aramaic for, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately, her spirit, her soul came back into her body. She came alive. She sat up. She rose up, and she began to walk. Jesus brought her back to life, healed her from the disease, destroyed the death in her body, and she was alive. The parents were so filled with joy and astonishment, ecstatic joy, that Jesus had to remind them, better give her something to eat. There are several truths that we need to apply to ourselves from this text. The first is that death has affected every single living soul in this world. Spiritual death. Every one of us are conceived and born spiritually dead in sins. Enemies of God, spiritually blind, children of Satan, under death's control, slaves to sin. And all the mourning, all the crying, all the weeping, all the repentance won't change that one fact. Only God's word can do that. Only the gospel message of Jesus Christ can take us from being spiritually dead in sins to spiritually alive in Christ. Only the Holy Spirit, to the good news of Christ's death and resurrection, can lead us to be born again, can lead us to be regenerated, lead us to be quickened, made alive spiritually to believe in Christ. But our second point is, even those of us who are spiritually alive in Christ will eventually someday face death. It's inevitable. Death will strike every one of us someday, if Christ doesn't come for another couple hundred years. And again, all the mourning, all the crying, all the weeping will not remove the tragedy of our passing. But Jesus has. When he died on the cross and was laid dead in the tomb on Good Friday, he rose back to life again on Easter Sunday and conquered and destroyed death's hold over every single one of us. Yes, death is the end of the life that we know of here on this earth, but it's not the ultimate end. For the believing child of God, death is but the open door to the beginning of real life, where our soul now is taken to be with the Lord, body is placed in the grave, and it is resurrected on Judgment Day to live forever with Christ face to face. And that's why Jesus says the same thing to you and me as he did to Jairus and his wife. He puts out all the skeptics of this world, all those who doubt and those who question the Bible's promise of the resurrection. And he says in his powerful word to us over and over again, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will, not maybe, or hopefully, he will live." And Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." And all those worldly skeptics tear at our hearts with their lies and with their deceit. Jesus throws them out of our hearts and he says, don't be afraid. Even you see your loved one lying there dead, don't be afraid. Only believe. Jesus paid the price for our sins. He went to death for us. He sanctified our graves, and he rose again on the last day. Our death to him is but a sleep, just like Jairus' daughter. On the last day, he's going to say, Mark, wake up. Wake up. Come, blessed my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Three miracles of life over death took place by Jesus. This little girl who had just died, the young man of Nain, who had probably died earlier that day because they buried people that same day and they were on the way out to the cemetery, and Jesus raised him, and then Lazarus, who had been dead already for 4 days. Jesus' power over death knows no time limit. Those who died just this past week, or 2,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago, will all be raised back to life because of the greatest miracle of all, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus rising from the dead paid for all the guilt and all the punishment of our sins and gives us the assurance of a resurrection to eternal life. Yes, there still is tears, and there is still crying, and there is still sadness when we lose loved ones. But they won't be tears of hopelessness. They won't be mourning and crying of despair, but there will be joy. That's why the Apostle Paul comforts us with these words. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Just like Jesus said, they're sleeping. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are live alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.